You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground.
Hello, Dolphin fans. You are listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, brought to you by BetUS. I'm your host, Steve Amasso, on this Wednesday, September 1st. Now, in today's episode, we're going to be discussing the Dolphins' 53-man roster, as well as some of the cuts that were made to get to that point. We're also going to be talking, we had quite a bit of drama in regards to the Deshaun Watson saga. Some reports were allegedly said in regards to Stephen Ross, and then there were some other reports saying that Brian Flores spoke with the team with a completely different tune. So that's all going to be discussed in today's episode. And then there were also some moves made across the league that will impact the Dolphins towards the beginning of the season. That will be talked about towards the end of the episode. But before we begin with that, a quick word from Manscaped. Our friends at Manscaped have a can't miss bet for you today. The leaders in male grooming just launched their fourth generation performance package. The betting odds are in your favor when you use the Lawnmower 4.0 on your balls. Across the board, this is the package to get you in the mood for whatever your gambling heart desires. Ready to take the leap to male grooming royalty? 2 million men already have. Join Manscaped movement by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code DolphinsTalk. The Performance Package 4.0 by Manscaped is the ultimate parlay to take your grooming game to the next level. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code DolphinsTalk at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code DolphinsTalk at manscaped.com. Fellas, don't gamble on shaving your balls with the wrong tools. Choose Manscaped. Your balls will thank you. Now, yesterday was a pretty hectic day. We had the Dolphins get to their 53-man roster, which makes it a pretty sad day typically around this part of the year because we grow attached to a lot of these fringe players, a lot of the underdogs that we're rooting for in terms of making the team. Well, we had quite a bit of cuts. Some of those ended up being pretty significant. First things first, the Dolphins placed tackle Larnell Coleman on the IR. Barry Jackson is reporting that he will miss the duration of the season. Now, the team ended up releasing the following players: Josh Harvey, Clemens, Cravon LeBlanc, Bernardrick McKinney, Adam Pankey, Matt Skura, Cameron Tom, and then the team waived the following players: Javaris Davis, Jared Doakes, Tino Ellis, Shaquem Griffin, Nate Holly, Kylan Johnson, Benito Jones, Patrick Laird, Jonathan Ledbetter, Kai Loxley, Khalil McClain, Kirk Merritt, Calvin Munson, Chris Myrick, Malcolm Perry, Derval Quiroz Neto, Daishan Render, Jordan Scarlett, Reed Sinnott, Jason Stobridge, as well as Carl Tucker. Now, as for the Dolphins' 53-man roster and how it currently is looking, we begin with the quarterback position. The Dolphins will be keeping two. Those are Tua Tagovailoa and Jacoby Brissett. As for the running backs, they are keeping three running backs, those being Miles Gaskin, Malcolm Brown, and Savon Ahmed. As for the tight ends, Mike Gesicki, Adam Shaheen, Durham Smythe, Hunter Long, and Seathan Carter. The wide receivers will be Devontae Parker, Jalen Waddle, Albert Wilson, Preston Williams, Jakeem Grant Sr., and Matt Collins. Now, don't fear, Will Fuller is not mentioned here because he is suspended for the first game, so they don't have to list him on the roster until after week one. Offensive linemen will be Austin Jackson, Solomon Kinley, Michael Dieter, Robert Hunt, Jesse Davis, Liam Eichenberg, Greg Mance, Greg Little, and undrafted Robert Jones. Defensive linemen will be Christian Wilkins, Emmanuel Ogba, Raekwon Davis, Adam Butler, John Jenkins, and Zach Sealer. We move on to the linebackers: Jerome Baker, Alandon Roberts, Andrew Van Ginkle, Jalen Phillips, Sam Eguavoen, Brennan Scarlett, and Duke Riley. The cornerbacks will be, of course, Xavien Howard and Byron Jones, then Justin Coleman, Noah Igbinoghene, Nick Needle, Needham, and the undrafted Trill Williams. Safeties will be Eric Rowe, Jason McCourty, Brandon Jones, Jamal Perry, rookie Javon Holland, and special team specialist Clayton Fedulum. The kicker will be, of course, the automatic machine Jason Sanders. Puncher will be Michael Pilardi, and the long snapper is Blake Ferguson. So to begin with some of the notable cuts here, I want to begin with the running back position because I saw this one kind of riled up quite a bit of people. The Dolphins ended up cutting Patrick Laird and Jared Doakes. And I know a lot of people are very big on Jared Doakes. And I think, again, as I alluded to before, a lot of us get attached to these fringe players and maybe hype them up to a degree that is overblown, at least in my eyes. I was never too big on Jared Doakes. Maybe one day I will have to eat my own words, but I saw people saying that they thought he was better than Malcolm Brown. I don't necessarily agree with that to that extent. I thought he looked decent in that last game that was predominantly against second and third string guys. And even then, he didn't necessarily have that home run performance that I think he kind of had to in that game. 3.5 yards per carry. He did have two touchdowns where he was able to punch it in. But overall, I wasn't too excited about him. And then as for Patrick Laird, he was kind of that dynamic receiving threat. He added an element on special teams that also made him valuable. This one to me was a little bit more surprising, but at the end of the day, sad to see Patrick Laird go. He was with the team kind of during that dark period back in 2019. He ended up being kind of a glimmer of hope that we all looked towards in that season that maybe he could end up being something. Sad to see him go, but overall, I do think there are some other running backs that are either free agents or were just recently waived by their team that could also be in the mix here that are maybe a little bit more valuable than Jared Doakes. Of course, anytime you mention free agent running backs, Todd Gurley is going to be towards the front of that list. Other guys that will be mentioned in that spot, I think Wayne Gallman had a pretty good season last year, over 4 yards per carry. He was recently released by the San Francisco 49ers. You had other players like Peyton Barber, who I'm not necessarily a big fan of, but if you're thinking a power runner, he could, I guess, be that, but I don't really love that idea. Of course, Kerryon Johnson, as we've been mentioning over the course of the past few weeks, could also be in the mix here. And then one guy who's particularly interesting in terms of his versatility is running back Jalen Samuel, who was recently released by the Pittsburgh Steelers. He did a pretty good job filling in for whether it was D'Angelo Williams or whether it was James Conner or Le'Veon Bell. Whenever one of those guys went down, Jalen Samuel was able to step in, former tight end, so he really excelled as a receiving back. That's definitely somebody to keep your eye on because I do think the Dolphins value versatility, so that's somebody who I think will be interesting. Overall, though, I'm not too surprised with the cuts at the running back position. Probably the biggest headline of the cuts was wide receiver Kirk Merritt. I was very big on Kirk Merritt. I love his athleticism, and I think the upside and potential that he offers warranted him being on that 53-man roster, but at the end of the day, I said I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't make it, and apparently the Dolphins felt the same way because they elect to keep some of those other guys like Mac Hollins, who's more of a special teams guy. They elect to retain Jakeem Grant, who they restructured a deal with, and they elect to put Preston Williams, who's battled a ton of injuries throughout his career so far, all in front of him in terms of how they value their wide receivers. Overall, a little bit of a bummer to see. I'm hoping the Dolphins would be able to keep him on their practice squad. I'm not necessarily entirely certain that's going to be the case, but hoping that ends up happening. The other guy here to mention will be quarterback Reed Sinnott. Of course, he absolutely balled out in that last preseason game, put on an absolute show. Hopefully, he lands back on the Dolphins practice squad. Again, not 100% certain. A lot of people are thinking maybe the Patriots, who released two quarterbacks, are going to be in the mix to pick him up, especially considering that they will be going up against the Dolphins in week one. Maybe get a little bit of intel there. Not necessarily sure if that's going to happen, but overall, you know, sad to see, but not entirely surprising by any means. But the move that was probably the most surprising, the biggest one over the past few days, has been the Dolphins electing to release Bernardrick McKinney, the linebacker that they acquired in that trade when they gave up Shaq Lawson to the Houston Texans. They brought in Bernardrick McKinney. We all knew day one what his weakness was. It was going to be in pass coverage. He's more of that traditional linebacker, a bigger dude, not necessarily fast, but the hope was that he could stop the run. I guess the Dolphins thought that his ability to stop the run wasn't enough to outweigh the cons of his inability to cover people in terms of pass coverage. So a pretty shocking move, one that had a lot of people very disappointed. Definitely caught me off guard. I think if it says anything about this staff in particular, it's that they're not going to hesitate hesitate or force moves, even if it makes them look bad. I think they're willing to put their ego aside and say that we messed up quite quickly off the rip, whereas I think other coaching staffs would be reluctant to do so because they don't want to admit a mistake that early on. But this could indicate a good or a bad thing. I think this is going to put a ton of pressure on a Landon Roberts, who I didn't think necessarily had a terrific season last year, but when he did have big plays, it typically came on those clutch third and shorts or fourth and shorts where he would just rip through the offensive line and make a big play. So if he's able to string together some more consistent play, then maybe this could end up being a pretty solid move by releasing Bernardrick McKinney. Overall, though, I do think it's worthy of being at least a little bit concerned here. Now, before we get into the 53-man roster, a quick little word from BetUS. With sports betting season in full force right now, the NFL season is right here on the horizon. You need a sports book with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sports book industry for almost 3 decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BETUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BETUS. You receive 125% sign-up bonus by using the bonus code DolphinsTalk. They have re-up and referral bonuses. Also, BetUS is known as America's favorite sports book for a lot of reasons. BetUS has all your NBA, NHL, NFL needs and player props. Loads of NFL futures and NFL odds are already up already. You can bet UFC matches and props, PGA, golf, and round matchups, live betting on most sports, and that includes golf. The online casino has hundreds of games, and the racebook has all your horse tracks. They have every bet imaginable, and the Sharp BetUS mobile platform is easy with full betting options. Follow my lead and get your phone online and social sports betting partner with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS, you bet. You win, you get paid, BetUS. Now, looking at the Dolphins' 53-man roster, I don't think there's too many surprising things to look at. The quarterbacks are, of course, extremely obvious. The running back situation here, you have to be under the idea that there is going to be a fourth running back brought in here. I refuse to believe that they're only going to enter the season with Myles Gaskin, Malcolm Brown, and Savon Ahmed. I do have confidence in Myles Gaskin, Savon Ahmed. Malcolm Brown, I think, is still a little bit on the fence. I think he could be okay, but overall, not a lot of depth here would be a little bit concerning if one of these guys goes down. I think it's almost a guarantee that they bring in at least a solid addition to this group. As for the tight ends, again, no necessarily shocking moves here. Glad to see Hunter Long back in the mix. As for the wide receivers, as mentioned earlier, Will Fuller not listed here currently because he is suspended for that first game, so they get to keep that extra wide receiver for now. Jakeem Grant ended up restructuring the deal for one more year with Miami. Preston Williams, I think, has a lot to prove, though. When he has been able to be healthy, he competes with Devontae Parker in terms of having the best numbers among the receivers on the team, which is awesome to see. The issue has been with him staying healthy. We saw him tear that ACL on the punt return. Then we saw him got that foot injury last year. He's been battling to get back on the field currently. So Preston Williams, I'm still kind of on the fence. I love the upside he brings. Just want to see him on the field for a little bit longer. And then Albert Wilson was partaking in walkthroughs. I believe he should be fine by the time the regular season comes around. As for the offensive line here, not too many surprises. Of course, the newly acquired Greg Little is here on the team. The undrafted Robert Jones, who a lot of people are rooting for, is a nice little depth piece here. In all, it's going to be a group with a lot to prove, still predominantly a ton of younger guys. Austin Jackson was extremely concerning, especially towards the beginning of the preseason. Hopefully, he's able to turn it around. I've really liked what I've seen on the other hand, though, from rookie Liam Eichenberg in those aspects. As for the defensive linemen, again, I think no surprises there. The linebacker group, as I mentioned, Landon Roberts will have to take on a bigger role. I think Jerome Baker should be fine, even though he wasn't all over the field like he typically is racking up the tackles. Sam Eguavone, I thought, made a really nice name for himself, of course, in that second preseason game where he put on an absolute show. If we're able to see that at all during the regular season, a game like that that, that would be absolutely amazing. I think all he has to do, though, is be a solid guy who gets rotated in here and there, and he should be fine. As for the cornerbacks, again, no surprises. Undrafted Trill Williams has a lot of people rooting for him right now. Noah Igbinoghene has been kind of disappointing me so far throughout the preseason. I am definitely concerned with whether Noah Igbinoghene would be able to get a high volume of valuable snaps in order to continue progressing, because right now I think he's still kind of struggling to adapt to the professional level, and with the Dolphins having a pretty talented group of defensive backs, I'm not necessarily certain how often he's going to be able to get worked into this defense. And then as for the safeties, again, no real surprises. I know people were very angry about the fact that Clayton Fedulum was on the team over some of the other guys like Kirk Merritt and Malcolm Perry. I think people are kind of referring back to that big touchdown that he gave up against Tyreek Hill against Kansas City. Overall, though, I think Clayton Fedulum's role is on special teams, where I think he's a dog. I think he does very good on special teams. We saw him on those fake punts, and he's able to make things happen. So I think if you're looking at it from the special teams aspect, it makes sense, and I don't think he's necessarily on this team to have a huge role defensively. I don't think that's where he's going to be on the field for the most part. Now, to move on here, we had a hectic day in terms of more Deshaun Watson rumors. I'll try to gloss over it as quickly as I can because I know it's a topic that has a lot of people fatigued already, but it began early yesterday when Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio reported that Stephen Ross, quote, really wants Deshaun Watson. The report had said that the Dolphins had balked at the asking price, but if the Fins could get him at a good value amid legal uncertainty, that would appeal to Ross. Then shortly after that, almost in unison, we had the reporters come out with a statement from a team source saying that Dolphins owner Stephen Ross is not forcing the team decisions and has faith in starting quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. Now, that created even more of a firestorm with the guy who initially reported that the Dolphins were the front runner, that being Charlie Robinson of Yahoo, who was getting pretty adamant about the idea that he was not lying in the reports that the Dolphins were interested in Watson. And then to wrap off the day on an actual good note, Jeff Darlington released a bombshell of a statement, and he said that, "I'm told Coach Brian Flores just addressed his team regarding recent reports tying Miami to a possible trade for Watson. Sources say he told players and staff that Tua Tagovailoa is, quote, our quarterback in a brief but poignant endorsement of the quarterback. This info isn't intended to dispute recent reporting that Miami was a major player in trade discussions. Rather, it is a reflection of the moment. A coach standing in front of his team endorsing his quarterback is not the same as one navigating a press conference. So wherever it started, wherever it's going, here's what you can take away. Less than 2 weeks before the season starts, Flores made clear to his team that Tua is indeed their quarterback, and I expect him to echo a similar sentiment in the weeks to come." And that's close quote all from Jeff Darlington. So overall, I think that last bit from Jeff Darlington is really going to be what ends up happening in terms of the immediate future. I think Tua is going to be the starter. I think the reports that Drew Rosenhaus was saying that he wouldn't be surprised if Watson was a starter. By this point, I think there's absolutely no way that nobody aside from Tua is the starter. There's not enough time to integrate an entirely new quarterback. I think the whole idea of them making a trade for Watson at this point with those legal issues still pending, I'm not entirely buying that any team would be willing to embark on what would be an extreme PR nightmare for just any team. So even though the reports may be realistic, I just can't picture any team doing it. So I'm buying in to what Brian Flores allegedly said to his team, that Tua is going to be the guy. People were wondering that maybe Brian Flores was reluctant to make a big statement at that press conference because of that initial report that Stephen Ross wanted Watson. So it'd be kind of, you know, a contradiction in terms of the interest between him and Stephen Ross. So he couldn't say it. You know, I don't know if that's true. Of course, that's entirely internal discussions that they're probably having. But overall, from this end, I'm happy to hear that Brian Flores made a statement like that to the team. team. I'm hopeful that some other big statement like that comes out publicly in some sort of press conference, just so at least this topic can subside for the immediate future, because this would be a horrible distraction if it continuously gets talked about and it's this massive narrative throughout the beginning of the season. I truly do feel bad for Tua Tagovailoa, who at this point has done absolutely nothing wrong. He's been an outstanding player, outstanding professional in all aspects in terms of how he's handled this. Of course, in terms of how his performance was as a rookie, it was okay. He was a game manager, but that's how you expect a rookie to play. But the strides that he's made throughout the course of preseason and the training camp has him right on track with where I think he should be, and that is absolutely fine. And in this whole situation, I do have to feel some sort of sympathy, because this has just been an extremely tough going for a guy whose first season was in the middle of a pandemic, no training camp, no preseason, coming back from an absolutely devastating hip injury that had his whole career in question. Adding this on top of that is just absolutely crazy. But if there's any bright side, you're basically putting Tua in a situation where he is born in the fire. He is going to be so composed in every situation after this, because this has to be the biggest test in terms of off the field issues that you could imagine with a young quarterback. So before we wrap up today's episode, we had a very interesting move happen in the AFC East, and it was that the Patriots elected to release Cam Newton, who was presumably going to be the starter for the team, and now Mac Jones is going to take over for New England. So the Dolphins now will be facing a rookie quarterback, also from Alabama, so there will be some tension there. I mentioned before the draft that I had never seen a fan base hate one guy more than they hated a prospect like Mac Jones. There was already a big rivalry occurring there, so it got more heated when he landed with the Patriots. This is going to be an exciting game. The Dolphins' strong point of their team is their defense. I think they're already going to have an ability to feast on a young quarterback. And as for Coach Belichick, this will be a good test to see whether his system is so foolproof that you could plug in a rookie there and he will look pretty productive. That's what I'm very curious to see, because you have both sides of the argument in play now, where you have people saying that the system's so good that Mac Jones should look good, and then you have other people saying, well, he's not Tom Brady. It's not going to instantly translate. This is going to be a test to see which of those ends up being the right take here. So guys, that is how I'm going to wrap up today's episode. As always, if you like to follow me on Twitter, you can do so. That is at Shady Steven. If you like to hear more from me, I do a Dolphins podcast. It is on Spotify and on Apple Podcast. It is called Via the Source, V-I-A the Source. You can check me out on Twitter. That is at Via the Source. If you haven't already, make sure to follow Dolphins Talk on Twitter. That is at Dolphins Talk. For all your news about the team, go to DolphinsTalk.com. Stay updated on everything in regards to the Miami Dolphins. Guys, it was a pleasure to be your host. Until next time, I'm Steve Amasso. This was your DolphinsTalk.com daily podcast brought to you by BetUS.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.